Thank you, Mike. Yes, we've moved to a very different environment, the hot southwestern corner of Australia, where we have podosols, as we call them, which contain pyrite. These podosols occur in swales, in very sandy dunes, and we extract the water from these soils for Perth to drink and also for development. You remove the water before you build. And we found out that these soils acidify very rapidly and acidify our groundwater. So the problem is identifying and managing this acidity in podosols. Here's a schematic. Should be a pointer. Right, there we go. So here's a cross-sectional diagram of this region here, going from Perth to a pronounced fault here, the Darling Fault, and we have a sequence of sandy former beach ridges here from the current contemporary sand dunes, less than 10,000 years old, calcareous dunes, extending over to here to very ancient sand dunes which are some million years old. Here's the sectional diagram. These are the ancient sand dunes. You can see they're low rises and swales, and the swales contain these podosols, peaty podosols. No, wrong way. That way. They're very big soils, these. Those are giant podosols. So I can't show you a soil pit, because you can see here this one would be 8 metres deep, and also the water tables are 2 metres, so we don't look at soil pits, we drill these soils. And pointing out the horizons, there's an A horizon, 2 metres of extremely bleached B, then a BH, and then a very deep B. If we look at the pH of these materials, you can see that the pH is generally about neutrality as we collect them, but if we let them oxidise, either oxidise in air or oxidise rapidly in peroxide, the pH then is about 2. So these are clearly acid sulfate soils. They're podosols, but they're also acid sulfate soils. I should also mention that they contain allophane. Here's a plot of oxalate silicon versus oxalate aluminium. Quite high levels of both silicon and aluminium, with a ratio corresponding to an allophane with the formula I show at the bottom. So they contain sulfides, they contain allophane. This is a little confusing. This is a summary of the mineralogy of the fine fraction. These are very, very sandy soils. If you want to understand the mineralogy of the pyrite and the sulfur minerals, and the mineralogy of the buffering minerals, you have to really extract the fine fraction and do your XRD on the fine fraction. So this is a summary of synchrotron XRD on 200 samples. And it's not a measure of the abundance of the mineral in samples. It's a measure of the frequency of occurrence. So, for example, quartz occurs in 100% of our 200 samples. Quartz is ubiquitous in the fine fraction of these soils, as is microfine, very, very abundant. Kaolin is also quite abundant. But this is really what I want you to focus on. Here are some sulfur minerals, pyrite, elemental sulfur, jarosite, marcasite, and macanorite. So all of these minerals are the typical minerals of acid sulfate soils that are lurking in the B horizon of these podosols. What do these minerals look like? This is now looking at the A horizon of one soil. This is a scanning electron micrograph. This is magnification. This is the EDS, the X-ray spectrum corresponding to this material. You can convert this to atomic percent. This isn't abundance, this is atomic percent, relative numbers of atoms. And you can see that the ratio of potassium ion to sulfur is just about exactly right for jarosite. So that's in the A horizon, where the lowering groundwater has already caused oxidation. The sulfur now appears as iron potassium sulfate, jarosite. and the pH is becoming quite acid. Deeper, at higher magnification, we can see that the jarosite crystals are nice euhedral hexagons. And once again, under the transmission electron microscope, we can analyze each individual crystal, and the composition is correct for jarosite. The pyrite mostly consists of small anhedral or euhedral crystals. We confirm its identity two ways. We chemically analyze it by EDS, and that ratio there is shown here. Or the crystals can be euhedral, well-shaped, gives the right electron diffraction pattern, contains iron and sulfur. This is the ratio of iron to, of sulfur to iron, exactly that of pyrite. So we have no doubt that this is the nature of the, much of the pyrite in these soils. But a lot of pyrite is actually also present, not as these tiny single crystals, but as framboids, much as pyrite is present in normal acid sulfate soils. So these podosols are very much like your conventional coastal marine estuarine acid sulfate soils. But we also find elemental sulfur. That's less common in acid sulfate soils. But here's an anhedral lump of elemental sulfur. Here's a globule of elemental sulfur. These are the spectra. The copper peaks there because the samples are supported on a copper grid. But you can see there's no element there other than sulfur. This is clearly elemental sulfur. This is the analysis. No iron present, so clearly not pyrite. So now we've got pyrite, we've got microcrystalline pyrite, we've got framboidal pyrite, we've got particles of elemental sulfur. We also find elemental sulfur in these sort of frog spawn assemblages within organic allophane complexes. This is quite a common form of tiny spheres of sulfur within allophane. Sometimes we find sulfur in the relics of microorganisms. So taking you through the various forms of pyrite, we've got microcrystalline pyrite, nanometric particles that they sometimes are aggregated in this way. They might then be in the form of a framboid. Occasionally, the framboid starts to take the appearance of a single crystal. It starts to develop straight faces and becomes massive. You no longer discern the pyrite crystals very well, and in a few cases we get quite large euhedral non-porous crystals of pyrite. So all of these forms of pyrite exist within these soils, and all of these are sources of acidity. As we lower the groundwater due to climate change, due to pumping, all of this pyrite will readily oxidize and cause our soils to become acid, our groundwaters to become acid. And this is an extremely big problem. Infrastructure dissolves. The buildings dissolve. Concrete pipes dissolve. Metal dissolves. And it's very hard to recover the situation once you've done this. So we need to be very alert to the occurrence of these podosols with pyrite and try not to dewater them. Because the soils are so very sandy, air and water moves through them very rapidly. So if you dewater these soils, the air gets in like the clappers. The pyrite crystals are nanometric, so of course they oxidize very quickly. So just a day of drying out is enough to oxidize them. These are really bad news from an environmental point of view. Well, that's bad news. But the good news would be if we had lots of buffering capacity. These are conventional acid buffering plots, so we add various amounts of acid and look at changes in pH. Plot, the slope of the plot is the buffering capacity of the material. This buffering capacity of point something millimoles per kilogram is extremely small. This is an E horizon, almost a pure sand E horizon. So its buffering capacity is extremely small. If we can contrast it perhaps with this material, which is a BH horizon, this buffering capacity is extremely high. So the BH horizon, and to some extent the B horizon, do have some buffering capacity, but it is actually inadequate to stop the acidification caused by excess of air. What is the nature of the buffering capacity? It's kaolin. This is some of the kaolin looked at side on. The analysis of kaolin is correct. Feldspar fragments, they offer some buffering capacity, but not very effective. Much of the buffering capacity will come from allophane or from organic matter. So my simple conclusion is we need to be very careful in Perth and in southwestern Australia that we don't let these soils see oxygen, see air, not even for a day, because this microcrystalline pyrite, which is not terribly abundant, there's not a lot of it, but it is in very poorly buffered sands, that very small amount is enough to rapidly acidify the soil and the groundwater. We know the forms of acidity, both framboids and tiny crystals. We know the form of some of the buffering capacity, and it's not very good. Thank you.
We have time. We have time for several questions. Are there any questions? Okay. Go ahead.
You choose somebody.
I'll say Stoll. Okay.
I was just interested in your terminology. So you, one of the terms that were on there that you didn't talk about was called coffee rock.
Yes. A local. I don't know if you use it in America. The question was, what is coffee rock? I'm a professor, that's why I wander around. coffee rock is a B horizon. It can be a BH horizon. In our case, it's also cemented by allophane. It's the colour of milky coffee and hard. But it's a B horizon. Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes quite strong, isn't it?
You sort of alluded to my question, Bob, but the part was how much of these sulfide minerals are present in this? And then, maybe you said this being, are these basically of marine origin because these are old sediments, or what's the source of the fire?
Okay, so two questions are these really marine acid sulfate soils? And your first part, which I forgot. How much pyrite? Yeah, super questions. No, these aren't marine. These are ancient dunes sitting reasonably high above in the landscape above sea level. They're very ancient. They're a million years old or more and extremely leached. So they're almost pure siliceous sand. And so this is a true podosol, a giant podosol, well removed from any estuarine or marine influence. A couple of my examples actually did have some estuarine material in them, as it turned out later, but the bulk of them are well above and sea level and isolated within swales within the dunes. And now I've forgotten your first question.
Where did the pyrite come?
Yep. Well, I think you actually asked how much was there. There is very little. You cannot detect it if you use conventional chemical methods to determine pyrite, chromium reducible and so on. You have to greatly modify the methods. So it's often less than 0.05% pyrite, sometimes much less. But even that tiny amount is enough in an unbuffered, almost unbuffered system to greatly acidify the soils. Where did the iron comes from? The small amount of iron in the sediments. The sulfur probably comes in with rain.
Okay, that's all we have time for right now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.